Hi guys, welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast, the best podcast of all times. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to another episode, guys. Eugene, how you doing?
I'm well. Finally, we can say goodbye to the French Open and look forward
to the ghetto Yes. Thank God.
And look forward to the grass court season, which we didn't have last year. So very
exactly.
Exciting.
I think that's why I am like. I was seeing myself like always reposting Wimbledon and stuff, and I was like, I've never done this before. It's like, well, you know, last year we literally had no grass
exactly.
season at all.
Yeah.
So I am so excited.
How are you though on this hot day?
Been chilling, you know, having my hot girl summer. You know what I mean? So that's why my voice right now is a bit. I'm drinking my tea and honey and lemon so I can, you know.
As we record on this Sunday at 8:30.
On the Sunday at 8:30 p.m. I've requested to Eugene. I was like, Eugene, I'm sorry, we need to record as late as possible because I am wilding this weekend, but
no,
we are
good.
Here. We don't flop.
It's all good. Exactly.
We're here to give you guys your episode.
Consistent. But yeah, let's get into it. So obviously we're going to be rounding up, just basically going over the French Open. I think it's only right we start with Naomi Osaka. Like, obviously, it kind of blew up and it became a story that was pretty much bigger than the sport of tennis. With her, like, withdrawal. And it's funny because I was kind of like, obviously, we had Tamani on the last episode.
We
were, like, previewing.
And we spoke about it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, like, the story moved on so fast. So, like, when I was looking for, like, things to clip up and, like, post on like Insta and Twitter and stuff, I was like, none of this stuff is like relevant anymore because the story's moved on like so far. But yeah, just to kind of go back over like what happened. Osaka, she won her first round match, like considerable ease, straight
yeah.
sets.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously didn't do press after, like she basically said she wouldn't. And then the four Grand Slams put out like a really heavy-handed and like pretty much over the top statement.
She got fined 18k, I think.
Yeah,
I
yeah. She got. I think it was 15. But yeah, she got the fine, 18, which she was aware yeah. she was going to get. But yeah.
But she's rich, so it's okay.
Facts. the Grand Slams and came out with that heavy-handed statement, basically yeah. warning players that if they were to like, well, miss post-match press or press in general, they could be defaulted from events. Which just seemed extreme, like, well, yeah, and just pretty much ridiculous. Yeah. And then that then made Osaka then put out, but she kind
on
of...
On top of everyone getting at her from the journalists who felt very triggered about her.
Yeah,
it was a mixed reaction, but I feel like the negative, like she said afterwards that, you know, she felt like more people were focusing on that than the actual event.
Yeah. But then she then kind of made a statement in her withdrawal post that she posted on like Instagram and Twitter, and it just kind of made things more clear like as to why she didn't want to do press in the first place, and
yeah.
basically it was to do with her mental health. And then that's what I'm saying. That's what then sparked this like massive debate, like
yeah.
which really like yeah it kind of it threw tennis into like the spotlight in terms of like the media spotlight. Globally, not just in France, and obviously, you know, to the tennis media, but yeah, like this is something we've said a lot as well, like with Naomi Osaka. Like obviously we're huge fans, but she transcends the sport like in so many ways, not just because of her like background, but just because of her actions like off the court. Obviously she's an amazing tennis player, world number two, but yeah, she's not afraid to like use her platform for, you know, the greater good of society. Yeah. And I think this withdrawal was kind of evidence of that as well.
But also for herself, I think it was important, like, you know, if she felt like she couldn't do it and her mental health was too much, she can pull out as well.
100%.
And that's why right now, as much as I miss her, like, I want her to come back. Like, if she doesn't want to come back to the Olympics or US Open, she want to skip everything in Europe, that's more than okay.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you need to put your mental first. I really disliked how, you know, some journalists or players even, I won't say some name, but some players...
Name names.
Who don't win, that Bouchard girl.
Oh, wow.
that Canadian girl that no one talks about or know about unless she's playing mixed doubles with Federer in that Hopman Cup that no longer exists anyways, out here trying to talk, you know, she's trying to make it like, she's trying to make it seem like, you know, Osaka probably did it for attention. It's that baby girl, she doesn't need attention. Like, the attention is on her because she's a good player. Something that you can't relate. Oh, so, no. Anyways, that's why she lost in the first round of French Open. But all I'm saying
was she even in the French Open?
Oh, see, it existed. No one knows about her. Like, no one knows about her. See, look, you look confused. You don't know about her. But she was there. But she lost the first round because all she does is just talking and she's not winning shit. But, you know, there was a lot of people that really annoyed me during that time because I feel like everyone was focusing about the rules, the traditions, and no one focused about her mental health. And some people would, like, there was one very dangerous article. For someone from Nadal's camp, I don't know if it was his dad or his uncle. I can't remember who it was. But that article obviously was written in Spanish, but I used the Google translation tab option thing. Okay. And when I was reading it, I could not believe it. Like, they were basically dismissing, you know, her mental health. They were saying, like, oh, if she's feeling like that, why is she posting on Instagram?
Wow.
Why is she doing all of this? Did you get what I mean? So there was a lot going on to her, and I don't blame her for pulling out. At the end of the day, they need her. Like, Roland Garros is literally one of, like, come on.
Yeah.
They need those players. That's why they all of them, all four of them came up and tried to, you know,
force her,
threaten her. And then once they saw her, everyone reacted. Everyone was standing behind Osaka. They're like, oh, we respect your decision. It's like, fuck you, man. And then when Federer, who I love, I think this podcast might even think I hate him because sometimes I do still go at him, but I do love him, who pulled out, when we all know why he pulled out, and nothing happened to him.
I wanted to talk about that because I was in two minds about posting about that Federer like withdrawal, because to be fair, it's rude. Like, it's a grand slam.
He literally said it. He was like, "Listen, I know I'm not going to win. Yeah. I'm using this as a practice. I want to be healthy and fit for Wimbledon."
Literally use it as like
nothing happens to my guy.
A play-in tournament for Wimbledon, like, yeah.
And this goes back to my point of the big threes will forever have special treatment. Because if any other player said that, if any other woman player said that, if any other, the one that's not a big three said that, they would have gotten a fine or gotten in trouble.
No,
but
I
because
agree.
It's Federer, it just blows my mind because if it was a thing where he hid the battle, like he didn't say anything, I can understand. Like, if it was a thing where we just guessed it, but he literally opened his mouth and said it himself.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we just hope and pray that Osaka is healthy and fit and happy, and that's all that matters.
Facts.
And I want her to come back and fucking kill it. It's so, like, it's a shame that people took that her first announcement so badly, because her RG draw was really good. From her first round, it looks like she was playing really well. I feel like in terms of clay, she has a lot of chances, like the way she plays and stuff. And I think her not talking to the media was one of the ways for her mentally
just to focus,
to help her.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what all of us humans do. Like, mm-hmm. whether there's rules or not, we always try and find a way that's going to help us to do better at our job. And that's what she's trying to do. And people are trying to crucify her for it. But as long as she's happy and healthy, and when she's back, that's all that matters.
100%. I think as well, like you said, like, we miss her. Like, basically, yeah, her not being a grand slam, like, that's a huge loss. So
huge.
We kind of,
but that shows you as well how much she really wants to get better, because, you know, you not coming into a grand slam is big.
Yeah.
It's not a small thing.
I think as well, just because obviously we've got the whole French Open to like talk about, but personally for me, in her statement, like, she kind of alluded to the fact that, like, yeah, basically doing press makes her feel like uncomfortable, like gives her anxiety and stuff. And like, I kind of put myself like in her position. Obviously I'm not a pro tennis player, but just in life and, like, you know, life experiences. And like, there are times where, like, I don't know, you can be doing something or, you know, being made to do something. Say for instance at work, where you're not 100% comfortable doing it, but because it's work, you have to do it.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
and,
exactly.
And that's, I'm probably not explaining it like clearly, but yeah, like,
no,
this is something that kind of adapts across the board, not just to athletes, like in terms of like just
exactly.
dealing with things from like a, yeah, just dealing with your like your mental and like kind of managing that. So it's a very important, like, and obviously it's quite topical. Everyone's talking about like mental health and stuff, but yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's an important conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah. And the thing is that I don't know why people are too surprised. Like, Osaka has always been like this person who's a bit nervous publicly. And like I did on my little thread on the Blackspin Global Twitter.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
You know,
yeah.
She went from being like, you know, only if you follow tennis, you knew about her, to being the most talked about tennis player.
Very quickly. But
in a negative way as well. Like she was used to pit, to downgrade Serena.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, talking more about the fight than her great performance. Like things happen so quickly for Osaka. I don't think she had time to even process it. So on top of that as well, she was very shy. Like if you look at her first, the first time she won her tournament, the way she was giving out her speech, like it was so, like, it was so adorable. That like, she was just like, "Oh, this is the worst thing ever." Like, what I mean. So it's not like if you know her or seen her about, which all of that's why I was pissed off at the journalists and all these tennis players. It's like, you know, this is not it. But I feel like, you know, this sort of jealousy that, you know, she's great at the game. She's the most, you know, paid female highest athlete. Paid,
yeah.
And like, come on. Yeah. So that's the thing. So yeah, again, we just hope that she's great. And I can't wait for her to come back. I really, 100%. Like, I love watching Osaka play.
I don't think she's going to be playing at Wimbledon, sadly, but yeah.
I don't see her coming till like US Open.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the US hard court season. So yeah, hopefully it is then. But like you said, just the main thing is we just hope she's, you know, just feeling better and like, yeah, just healing.
Or boycotts the French Open.
So yeah, shouts out to Osaka. But yeah, let's get into this Leghetto Open. I think I want to start with Coco Gauff. Obviously, she made it to the quarterfinals, her first Grand Slam quarterfinal.
Unbelievable.
Which is just insane. So like en route to the quarterfinals, she beat Anna Krunic in the first round. That was straight sets, pretty comfortably. And then in the second round, she beat Huan Qiang, who she beat in the final in Parma, literally like the week before. So that was quite funny to have to play her again. But again, that was pretty comfortable. The third round is where it got interesting. So she had Jennifer Brady, but Brady ended up retiring after the first set, which Coco won 6-1.
I still think Coco would have been her.
Yeah, Coco, she was playing really. And the thing is, I wasn't watching that match because I was working at the time. But the posts I saw about it, like whilst it was going on, it basically just said, yeah, she's dominating this. And like,
she was, yeah.
I think Brady's movement was a bit hindered slightly. Obviously, she was injured. But yeah, it was a pretty comprehensive performance for Gauff. And then in the fourth round, she beat Ons Jabeur. I did watch this match and this was incredible.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, because that one, I'm not going to lie, I was a bit nervous.
Yeah, I think everyone was because they're literally, I think, yeah, Gauff was seeded 24. Jabeur was seeded 25. So like, they're literally like right next to each other in the seedings. But yeah, Gauff just literally outplayed her like from start to finish. It was like a flawless performance. Serving was on point. She just looked really up for it. And like it was quite funny as well. Obviously, Jabeur's older than Gauff, but it kind of watching that match, it felt like Gauff was the older player, like just because the way she was handling herself and like
she was so focused.
Jabeur was one getting more frustrated and like it was just incredible to see. And then obviously that then led to the quarterfinal with Barbora Krejcikova. Or Krejcikova even. Let's put some respect on the winner's name here now.
true, shout out to her.
And like I always say, like it's never a bad thing when you go out to the eventual champion.
Exactly.
Even watching that match, Gauff had her chances because she was leading.
She did.
In that first set. I want to say she was like 5-3 up. I'm pretty sure there was a time.
I think 5-3. Yeah, I think it was a tight one.
But yeah, to be fair to Krejcikova, she you know got it together and just zoned in and just kind of locked in after that. And I think that kind of gave her the confidence to go on, you know, to perform the way she did and obviously eventually win the title.
Which she won in singles and doubles.
In fact, so
respect first much. To do so since Serena, I think. In Roland Garros.
No, Mary Pierce.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. But yeah, Gauff with that run, she's now qualified for the USA Olympics team.
Yeah, I saw that. That's so great.
Which is incredible. And like, she's just edging closer and closer to the top 20. So I think when the rankings are released, obviously when, once this podcast is out, I think she'll be like 23 in the world.
That's crazy.
Which is just insane. Yeah. And she's 17. Like she just turned 17 this year.
Yeah, I really hope that she takes in, like, she's proud of her performance.
Tournament. Lastly, and I think probably one of the, I love this moment. Again, didn't catch most of the match, but I saw, obviously, the pictures afterwards, playing doubles with Venus. Like, what a moment.
Incredible. Like, incredible.
So, yeah, I think, and I posted that basically, yeah, they lost in the first round. I think they played the 13th seeds. But no one was watching the score. Like, it was all about...
Yeah, it was just, yeah. And to be honest, like, it's like, can you imagine, like, playing doubles with, like, your idol?
Exactly.
Like, this...
One off,
like,
yeah.
It's just, like, I can't... Like, to me, it's crazy. And I can't even imagine how she feels.
Yeah.
And even the way the whole thing happened is the fact that apparently her dad is the one that reached out to Venus.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, and she was like, yeah, and it's like, wow, you know, like, because she could have easily been like, no, and especially that she's never played with anyone else but her sister.
Yeah, I think she
doubles for Grand Slams.
Okay, I think she played with Wozniacki. Was that not at a slam? Or am I getting that? Am I getting that confused?
No, apparently. It should be, probably it would be Serena Wozniacki, especially that they
friends.
Close friends. But apparently, I think it's the first time that Venus has played for someone else doubles. Like, can you imagine the fact that it's another black girl makes it even
the visuals are
better.
Incredible. Yeah, just
like,
insane.
It's just I'm just so happy about that. So whether they lost or won, like, it was just that having that moment is incredible.
Yeah, no, 100%. Shouts out to Coco, and like, kind of sets up nicely for the grass. And moving on, Sloane Stephens, she made a run to the fourth round. And I thought, again, that run for Stephens, I think this is going to do her the world of good, like, going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So
100%, 100%.
In the first round, she beat Carla Suarez Navarro, or resilient Carla Suarez Navarro, I've got down here. Like, obviously, she's just recovered from cancer.
The way Roland Garros handled that
was really sad.
They could have given her a day thing like this. Like, it was especially that, like, she's a Spanish player. Like, fair enough, it's like, you know, but it's clay.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Like, it was very shitty of them. Like,
they do
things like this, and
no
I'm
crowd.
Just like, bro, are you like, yeah? Like, why do you do these things? Like, and then you wonder why we hate you guys, but. Shout out to her though, like, for her to recover
100%.
And come
and
play the first
round. It was a free set
round.
Match, like, so
exactly.
It was not easy.
So
yeah, obviously, shouts out to Suarez Navarro, and obviously, I think this is her last year on the tour because she's going to retire like after the season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the last we'll be seeing of her, Roland Garros. But yeah, back to Stephens. So in the second round, she took out Karolina Pliskova, the ninth seed, and that's a top ten player.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty comfortable for Stephens. Straight sets.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the match, I'm not going to lie to you. But yeah, I saw highlights, and I just thought to myself, this is the Sloane Stephens from like 2018 in terms of, like, you know, the one that reached, was it 2018 she reached the final? Wasn't it? Or,
final, yeah. 2018, yeah.
Yeah, it was that kind of vintage Sloane.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought to myself, we might be onto something here. Like,
the
way how, like,
she loves clay. She played
thing.
Really well on it as well.
A lot of like big players are getting knocked out left, right, and center first round. So
yeah, man.
Yeah, that was Pliskova straight sets, and then in the third round, for me, an even better performance against Karolina Muchova. Again, that was
that match was really good.
That was straight sets again.
Yeah.
So like playing
that was a really good match.
Two Czech players back to back. And beating them straight
and
sets.
And Mikova's been playing really well as well.
She's,
so for her to
she's
beat
a
her
really
was
good
really
player.
Good, yeah.
I don't think that, because I think she was seeded 18th, so she's top 20. But yeah, she's definitely potential top 10, easy.
Yeah, no, she's been playing well this year.
And then, yeah, Stephens then fell to Krejcikova in the fourth round. And again, obviously, that's the eventual winner.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the best.
I knew that one was going to be tricky.
Yeah, it wasn't the best performance as well. Like, and
when I deeped how much she was doing this year, like, she's been on, like, we just don't know it, but she's been on job and stuff. So when she was playing Stephens, I was like, shit, yeah, this is going to be a hard one.
I'm not going to lie, Lucy, I did think, you know what, if this could be it for Stevens, like, because the draw was pretty much wide open at that point. So I think she would be disappointed that she didn't.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Just because, like, I don't think she played that well in that match as well. Like, Krejcikova didn't really have to do that much in terms of, like, play. She didn't have to play the level she played against Coco, let's say that.
Okay, fair
so it was much more, like, straightforward. But that was because, yes, yeah, Sloan just pretty much wasn't really playing to the level she's capable of playing at. But not to take away, like, the run, like I said, to make the fourth round at Roland Garros, after, like, a... You've documented the year she's had, like the start to the year she's had, losing two family members to COVID and like just been struggling for form. But
oh, she has an interview that I really want to read on New York Times.
Oh, really?
Stevens, yeah, apparently she was opening up about her mental health and everything.
Oh, was that in Paris?
No, I think the interview happened like a couple of weeks ago and they just released it like on the New York Times or something. Funny enough, it dropped around the same time when the Osaka thing was happening. And I think there was like a snippet where where she said that she actually regret not leaving the tournament to go to her grandparents' funeral.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's really heartbreaking. Mm. But I don't think she would have even been able to even leave because she had to...
Quarantine, yeah.
To quarantine for 14 days. Yeah, so it was a very sticky situation for her. But yeah, I think it's a New York Times article that you think you have to pay for it or you have to subscribe or something.
Okay,
I don't know. Or is it blocked? Or I don't know. I couldn't.
Years behind a paywall. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why. But I need to. I really want to read it because it would be nice to hear from her point of view and stuff. But it's just like I just enjoyed watching her play because she looked like she was enjoying. Mm-hmm. You know, like she was focused. She was like. Watching Stevens play and winning just makes you like just love her. Like it just reminded me again of that this is why I love you because she's a great athlete. And when she's focused and she's playing well, like she's honestly
and her
like,
style you know, is so easy on the eye. Like she's just so talented. Like it looks effortless almost. Like
yeah,
when she hits her ground strokes, like and yeah, it comes so easy to her.
Exactly. So I think that's why with her, just about her enjoying her game and stuff, which she's doing. So I hope she just, you know, keeps it up. She's not that bad on grass either.
No, yeah, she could do well.
She's
on
done
grass.
Like yeah, I think she's done up to quarterfinals.
I've not looked at her record at Wimbledon.
I know she's done a pretty high one once. I can't remember, but yeah, she has.
Fair play, but yeah, it's just great, like you said, to see her back to like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just looking happy and playing to the level we know she's capable of playing at. And yeah, hopefully that bodes well for her grass court campaign. Next up, Serena Williams. So she also made it to the fourth round. And it's funny because I don't think we definitely weren't expecting her to do much at Roland Garros. So I don't really know what like the general kind of fan perception or expectations were on Serena. But yeah, she ended up falling in the fourth round to the eventual semi-finalist, Alina Rybakina, or Rybakina. Mm. I don't know how you say that name, but again, a very talented player. And I thought Serena played some really good tennis, especially against Danielle Collins in the third round, where she won 6-4, 6-4.
Yeah, that Collins one, I was so scared of Collins.
I thought that was going to be potentially trouble as well. But Serena really, really like just locked in and like it kind of, it took me back to like a time where obviously this is clay. So like it's not her, you know, strongest surface, but it did feel like I was watching like a younger Serena, basically not the 39 year old Serena Williams.
I feel like gradually she just gets better and better and better and so it's like moving. But
she plays her way into tournaments.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But that Elena girl, you know, before the match, she was one of the girls like, oh, yeah, like, I've always wanted to play Serena. When I saw that, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, piss off. Like,
I'm not going to lie. When she beat Serena, I thought, yeah, she's going to win the whole thing. That's how good and that's how much I rate her, like, as well. Like, I think she's a really good player. And I thought she pretty much played like a perfect match against Serena. So I thought, if she can play like this against... But like you said, like you always say,
that's what they do.
Exactly.
That's what they do. They're like, oh, yeah, Serena. When I saw that, I was like, oh, piss off, man. Like, just go and play like you're playing a normal girl. Like, just go away. But Yeah, man. But yeah, I feel like with Serena right now, all she needs to do, I think people are clocking that she's not moving as much as before, even though she's improving that. I feel like that's where the woman, like the girls are really like hitting her with and trying to challenge her with and take a thing. But I feel like I said, each tournament she just gets better and better. So I can't wait for the grass season.
Same.
You know, she loves Wimbledon. Wimbledon is hers. So
let's go, Serena.
Let's go.
And like, yeah, notable mentions on the women's side. Madison Keys, she made it to the third round. I did watch her second round match against the Canadian Leila Fernandez, which was a really good match.
And apparently, that was good. Yeah.
Yeah, really. I thought Keys played really well on that. And obviously, we rate Fernandez as well, like quite heavily. Like, she's a very talented player. So that was a good win for Keys. And then the American qualifier and French Open debutante, Hayley Baptiste, she made a run. So she qualified for the event, and then she beat Anna Blinkova in the first round, which was a top 100 player. But then, yeah, she lost in the second round to Sophia Kenin. But yeah, just an amazing like couple of weeks for Baptiste. Mm-hmm. And like, it was really exciting to kind of just see how she's kind of progressing, because obviously I watched quite a bit of her in like Miami at the start of the year. And one of the things I said was that basically like, this is her level, like in terms of she's easily a top 100 player, but she just needs to basically, consistently play in like play against these players in and around that ranking, which she's now starting to do. More on her later on, but yeah, good run for Baptiste. And finally, Jasmine Paolini, the Italian. So she also made it to the second round. She lost to Maria Sakkari, but I thought,
which is not too surprising. Sakkari, been on job.
She reached the semi-final as well, didn't she, Sakkari? So no, real, like
it was like once all the niggas were out, I was like, okay, she's what I'm rooting for. Like, I was like, all right, no niggas, all right, Sakkari.
So
which was that semi-final match was a tight one, like. It was a very tight one, but she did a very good job. I honestly love Sakkari. I think she's great. I was rooting for her, and I think she's gonna have a very good rest of season. She's been on job.
Yeah, no, she got it together. Been on job, definitely.
Yeah.
And then in the first round, so the wild card and debutante, Ocean Barbel, the 17-year-old French girl, she lost to Elina Svitolina in straight sets, but she was leading in that second set. I think she was serving for the second set, basically, but then ended up losing at 7-5. But a really, really good effort from her, considering that was her like WTA Tour debut. And then Venus, she also lost in the first round to the 32nd seed, Ekaterina Alexandrova. And Heather Watson also lost in the first round to Zarina Diaz. So, yeah, that wraps up the women. And obviously the winner was Barbara Krejcikova, who beat... Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. And that was a free set match. Didn't watch. I'm not gonna lie. I watched
like a little bit because I was moving up and down. But
I saw Pavlyuchenkova was struggling with an injury. But
yeah, but the second round she played really well.
Yeah.
And then Pavs played really well on the second set, and then the final set, she just kind of like. Took. I think the final set was actually kind of tight.
Yeah,
they were getting really close, and then obviously, you know, she won. But someone tweeted, "Oh, finally, Ostapenko is no longer the weirdest person that's like win a Grand Slam like out of nowhere." So it's like, yeah,
people need to allow Ostapenko, you know.
I know, right? It's funny. Like I like her, but at the same time, when you think about it, you're like, bro, like, she's a Grand Slam winner.
It's
like,
kind of mad. It is kind of mad.
But she's young anyway, so it is what it is.
Exactly. Over to the men now. I know you're watching the final. If we start with Mikael Ymer, the Swedish number one.
Yeah.
Made a run to the third round. So I was watching his first round match against Roberto Caballos Baena, the Spaniard, and that was a five setter. So Ymer was 2-1 down, but then just turned it around. And I was in shock after that because I was not expecting him to basically flip that match because he basically did that. And then in the second round, he took out Gael Monfils, which it was an incredible like just performance and seeing that as well, like visually again, which we've spoken about many times. And that was his first win against a top 20 player. So pretty big deal for Imo. And then he lost to Yannick Sinner in the third round. And obviously Yannick Sinner is a quality, like he's one of the best youngsters around at the moment. So no real surprise there, but a good effort from Mikel Imo.
Yeah, definitely.
Gael Monfils, like you said, made it to the second round. So he beat Albert Ramos Vinolas in the first round. And that was four sets. And I watched this match. It was quite, he got emotional at the end because like his parents are watching in the stands.
Apparently, like his whole family and stuff.
Yeah, and it was just sick because obviously you had like, it wasn't a full stadium, but there were quite a lot of people in there. And obviously being
French. Especially that
he's
French and
exactly,
stuff. Yeah,
it was a nice atmosphere. And yeah, you could just tell he was just really, really happy like with the result and obviously just the moment. With it only being the first round. But then, like I said, he then lost in the second round to Mikel Imo. And that was four sets, I want to say. And Monfils was struggling. There was a time, I think he had the trainer on, I want to say, in the third set. So I don't know what the injury or like to what extent he's injured, but hopefully it's nothing too serious. But yeah, Monfils is definitely starting to play like to the level he's capable of playing at
and he
well.
Didn't play a lot of clay matches before
not really RG, he played Lyon
yeah. And I think that was it
and that's where he won his first round match against the Brazilian and then he lost to Nishioka but yeah I mean obviously his struggles have been well documented like in the recent past so it looks like he's slowly getting back to like, the level he's capable of playing at. And we just hope, the wins continue to come for Le Monf. And then, the first round, basically three first round exits. So Joe Wilfred Songgood lost in the first round to Nishioka, who just seems to be playing everybody. And that was a four set match. Felix Auger-Aliassime, this is a bit of a shock. He lost to Andreas Seppi in four sets. And that was also a first round loss for Felix. And Francis Tiafoe also fell in the first round to fellow American Steve Johnson. That was a five set match. And yeah, tough ones to watch, like the Tiafoe one, especially like because he was in a winning position.
Exactly. That one was hard to watch. I remember.
And yeah, obviously Felix won't be pleased. Obviously being, I think he was a 20th seed to lose to Seppi, like. He should have really won that too, but
yeah. What I think this clay season, what do you think happened with Felix? Because his performance is clay.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about Felix later on, but I don't know what it is like in terms of. I think Grand Slams. I'm very interested to see how he does at Wimbledon because I think he's got a really good game for grass. So I'm very very. I'm excited and also quite anxious to see how he does because I don't want him to like be putting too much pressure on himself. If that makes sense. But
I kind of felt like my dilemma was: is it a thing where he felt pressured because he has Tony Nadal in his team,
well, that
where
could,
everyone
yeah,
just
that,
expected
I mean,
him?
I think that definitely plays into it 100%.
You know, because everyone was going crazy from players to the media to the fans.
Ah, the
I was
king
going
of
crazy
clay.
Myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Everyone was going crazy. So in my head, like today, when I was thinking about it, I was like, obviously it's just my opinion, I may be wrong, but I think maybe that pressure from, having someone from the Nadal Academy into his team has probably given him that little extra pressure and stuff. Because if you think about it, Felix doesn't really show his emotions.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think it's something
so it's really hard to read him.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to read him. Like, we don't know, like, if he's upset, is happy. Like, so that's why it's kind of, like, hard to really know, like, what's really going through his mind. He doesn't speak up that much, like, about his, how he feels and stuff. I mean, everyone deals with things differently. If that's what makes him, he preferred that, then that's fine. But for us as fans, it's kind of hard to figure out, okay, what is it?
Yeah, because where's his mind at?
He's not, yeah, exactly. Mm,
no, fair play. But then, yeah, obviously the men. So you all know now, Novak Djokovic won Grand Slam. Yeah. What was it, number 19 for him now? Mm. Beating Stefanos Tsitsipas in 5 sets. Mm. You look like you're so eager to talk about this because I know you're watching every minute. Go on, Lucy, the floor is yours.
No, I just wanted Stefanos to win. That's it. But at the end of the day, Steph has been doing really well, like, this season. The players that he loses against are big players. You know, like that Barcelona final against Nadal, like a couple weeks ago, like whatever it was, he made Nadal nervous in his own court. As in, like, it was like how Nadal won that match was a miracle because he really made him work for it. Same with Djokovic on the first 2 sets. But I think I even said this on the pod like a year ago or something, that I said, I think he'll be like one of the first to win from
outside,
the next gen.
Slams.
I've always said, like, you know, Steph is on job, so yeah, man, just continue doing it. The good thing about one of the good things about this Roland Garros was, you know, the semi-final and the Darren Jones.
I was gonna say,
like, everyone was talking
that was
about
insane.
That.
The level.
The president literally said, "I fuck the curfew, we're gonna keep this going." Like, it's just, I love it when everyone talks about tennis. Like, even today, I saw a lot of people like tweeting saying, "Oh, like Euros is on, and they're out here showing the tennis." They're calling it the tennis. They're out here showing the tennis. I'm like, fam, this is a Grand Slam final. Like, relax. Like, yeah. This is a big. They're like, "Nah, man, why are they showing the tennis?" So, you know, seeing tennis out like that, especially when something big like the Euros is going on, is amazing. So you guys just wait. When Wimbledon comes, it's even going to be worse, especially here in the UK.
It'd be a wrap. And just imagine, like, obviously with the Euros, to American listeners, that's like it's a soccer event, which I'm probably sure you're aware of, but it's a big deal. England are in it, like all the main European nations are in that. And, like, obviously football, soccer's a big thing in this country. So
yeah, 100%.
The fact that, I don't know if it will kind of coincide with Wimbledon, I think. It will be like the latter stages.
I think that's what happened with, was it World Cup?
Yeah, there was a World Cup. It was a World Cup.
Yeah. And it was so funny. Yeah. Some people were like, I'll never forget that day. There was like 3 different sports events. I can't remember which was the other one. But one was definitely football. The other one was Wimbledon. And like my TL was just like crazy. And I think obviously the finals were crazy for like the Djokovic and Federer.
Okay.
And it was just, yeah, it was mad.
It's going to be a nice summer of sport.
Though.
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
But just to round up the French Open, so the juniors, so we had basically some black winners on the boys' side. So Arthur Fils and Giovanni Mepeshi Pellicard, two French kids from, well, obviously both French. I think, yeah, Pellicard 17. Fils turned 17 on Saturday, so literally the day of his birthday, he played 2 finals. He played the boys' singles final, which he lost, unfortunately, and yeah, the doubles final, which he won with Pellicard. So, like, it's just great to see that, like, two black boys winning doubles in France. So shouts out to them two. On the women's side, or the girls' side, we had Robin Montgomery, which we've spoken about quite a lot on this pod. So she's 17, American. She reached the quarterfinals. Ocean Barbell, who made her WTA Tour debut in the main draw, she reached the third round. And so did Switzerland's Sebastiana Schidapoti, also 17. She also got to the third round. And there were a few basically junior slam debutants as well. So Clairvy, I don't want to like butcher this name. Please help me. So I want to say she's American, but I think her parents are Cameroonian. She's 14. She made her Grand Slam debut. She plays at the Patrick Mouratoglou Academy as well, and she follows us on Instagram. So I don't want to. Oh. I don't.
Clairvy Ngunu.
Ngunu, yeah, I think that is how you say it.
Ngunu, I don't think, maybe you don't pronounce the N from my, because it's just from Cameroon, then it would sound more like French
exactly.
side.
That's why I wanted you to help with the pronunciation.
So Claire, Claire V. Ngunu.
Yeah, 14 years old, WTA Grand Slam Junior debut. And yeah, she reached the second round, so pretty good going considering she's only 14. And there was also a second round showing for Switzerland's Chelsea Fontenelle. And I want to say she's 16. I'm not 100% sure her age, but again, good showing from them two. Can you help me with this name as well, Lucy? So, Matilda Njikokari.
I believe it's Matilde Njikokari.
13 years old. She made her Junior Slam debut along with Maylie Monfils, Gael Monfils' sister, who's 16.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they both lost in the first round. But again, just great to see them. And like, that's one thing I love about this French Open. Like, with the Eurosport app anyway, you can watch every single match. So like, whether it's the juniors or obviously the, you know, the main draw, men and women, every match is available live to watch. Yeah. So it's just always great to kind of see the juniors as in the next, you know, the next stars of the game, like coming through. So yeah, man, shouts out to all the juniors that kind of made their debuts and made a run. And that pretty much wraps up the French Open or La Ghetto Open.
yes. Thank God. Thank God. It was just too much, man.
But like, you know, there's clay season's not done because after Wimbledon, there's like a month of clay, like in Europe, that some players will play, but...
I'm just tired. And I love clay, but Roland Garros just makes it harder for me to enjoy it, to be very honest. Like, I'll enjoy all the other clay tournaments, and then Roland Garros come and it's like, I fucking hate this team. Like, I can't stand, like, it's just ridiculous. Like, they really, like, the way they move with this stuff is just, it's just crazy.
No, I hear you.
Shout out to all the players. It was very entertaining. There was a lot of matches that I enjoyed watching.
What was your like highlight? Obviously, the whole Naomi Osaka thing was a massive low light. But yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, that Nadal and Djokovic one was a big one.
Fair play, yeah.
It was a very big one. I feel a lot of Djokovic matched this thing. There was another one with Mario. No, Matteo.
Oh, Berrettini.
Yeah, Berrettini. That match was insane because the crowd was really like rooting for like Berrettini, and unfortunately because of the curfew they had to stop stuff. But that match, like the momentum, like it was, because like I said before, although I'm not a big fan of Roland Garros, I feel like they have the best crowd, to be honest, because French people are fucking crazy. So, not in a bad way, guys. By the way, I love you guys. Like, honestly. Feel like you guys' energy when it comes to any sort of sports, even when it's football,
the French
and stuff,
are different. They're
different. So, when is a good Roland Garros match happening? Is insane. But I feel like Nadal and Djokovic one was big. But, you know, it was history was made. Everyone was talking about it. It went on for hours. They were both fighting. The quality was insane. So, yeah, I would definitely say that. For me, even that Sakari, actually, and for women, that Sakari match was very good. Her semi-final match as well. The momentum there as well was crazy. You know, like when she was winning, she was like this to the crowd. Like, you know, do you get what I mean? So seeing that, especially when the women's side, that's what you mainly see with the men matches.
Yeah.
Good. So I think, yeah, those were great. And Coco, definitely. Coco and Venus, 100%. I feel like Coco was definitely like my fave as well, like seeing her play that well. But yeah, there was quite a few good moments. But yeah. What about you?
Yeah, no, I think like you. So obviously that Novak Nadal semi-final was just insane. But yeah, from a black spin perspective, definitely Coco Gauff. Like, yeah, just to make her first Grand Slam quarterfinal at 17. Mm-hmm. It's just insane. Mm-hmm. I think the last 17-year-old to do it was Venus at the US Open. So it just shows
which
the kind
is
of
like, ironic. Yeah.
Like the company she's kind of in. But yeah, she's definitely going to win one of these one day. And yeah, I just can't wait for that day to come. But yeah, shouts out to all the players, obviously, that competed, and well done to France as well, because it was a good event. Like, obviously, they the whole curfew thing was a mess, but yeah, that was dealt with quite well. Moving on now, before we get into like a roundup of like events from, well, away from France, I want to mention Taylor Townsend and her piece in the Players' Tribune, which was incredible, like, to read. So, yeah, we did post about it as well, like, on our socials. So, yeah, she basically did, like, an open letter, just talking about, like, her kind of life in tennis, and, like, from a junior to, like, where she is right now, as, like, obviously being a new mum. And yeah, it's a long read. Obviously, all the Players' Tribune pieces are quite long. But yeah, just so insightful and like quite emotional as well, like in some parts, like, because she talks about like just the racism she experienced, like with the USTA, and like the issues of like her weight as well, and like the kind of crap she got for that.
Which was crazy to see, because she moves so well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was more about like the looks, which I think in the American culture is a very big thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the way they look and stuff, and yeah, like, to me it's crazy because the way she looks should have been a disadvantage, but she was still doing her job.
Junior,
it was a
junior
bit like,
world number one. Yeah,
exactly. She was still doing her job. Like, it's a bit like, you know, with Serena, like they always talk about her weight and everything. They say there's an advantage. It's like the way Serena is built, she should be, it should be super hard for her to be moving like that crazy on court. And it's the same with Townsend. Like, for example, she's someone who loves going towards the net as well. So she moves a lot, like, and stuff. So yeah, it was seeing some of like the stuff that were being said and that she experienced, I was like, yeah, this is absolutely crazy. And the craziest thing is that I bet you there's so many other players at this very moment who are probably going through the same
thing.
That's
a great point. Yeah.
Right now, and we just don't know it because they don't have a platform to speak about it, or they probably can't speak about it because they don't want to jeopardize their career, which is the thing that every black person go through. Mm-hmm. You know, we go through this thing where at work we see the discrimination, but we're like, you know what, I'm trying to save my job, so let me just shut up and deal with it.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be the case. So shout out to her for speaking up about it. The USTA, I really hope, you know, you guys fix up your shit.
Which I think they have as a result of, you know, because this was very well publicized, like, I want to say a few years ago, because she was interviewed by the New York Times a few years ago, and like she kind of basically explained what went down, and I think since then there's been like a massive shake-up, like at the USTA, like as a result of her experience basically. So yeah, and like you said, she's such a good speaker, like in terms of just like she's not afraid to speak out and like, yeah, just tell it how it is.
That's one thing I like about her, like, even as a personality, like, you can see the type of person where if you take the piss, she's not allowed, like, she's not going
from Chicago, from Chi-Town.
Yeah,
like,
see, exactly. Like, you know, she's very thing. So shout out to her for speaking up.
100%.
You know. I think maybe her being a mother has helped her to, you know, be like, all right, let me even talk more and stuff. But yeah, man, but this is just, as a black woman, it's not surprising in a way. It's like, yeah, this is just sadly another day in the discrimination.
But I definitely recommend you go and like, yeah, read that piece on the Players' Tribune, because it's definitely well
looking
worth it.
Looking forward to her coming, her playing.
100%. So yeah, if we do a quick roundup of what went down last week now. So we had Jasmine Paolini win her first WTA Tour title in Bol, Croatia. Never heard of Bol before in my life in terms of being a place.
Croatia has a very, very, like, they have very, like, a lot of different cities and stuff,
So that was new to me. Like, I learned something new last week. But yeah, that was a WTA 125 event. So with that now, her ranking will go up to 87 in the world, and that's a career high for her. So nice. Shouts out to Paolini. Felix Auger-Aliassime made his eighth ATP tour final in Stuttgart. But yeah, wasn't able to get it done against Marin Cilic in the final. And that was...
Who actually has a good performance on grass?
Straight up, Wimbledon finalist, wasn't he?
Yeah, so that's one thing too.
Yeah.
Which goes back to my point again, just like with Steph, a lot of these next gen, who are the ones that are great, tend to lose against players who are more qualified, I mean, more experienced and more out there. So, yeah, man, like he, it was, if you watched it, you could see that it was very tight. It wasn't
I was going to say, I was paying close attention to it. And like, literally, that first set, I want to say every game went to juice. So like, it wasn't a thing where it was going back and forth. They broke each other in the end as well. I think they broke.
Yeah.
Felix got broken first, but then he broke straight back. So I thought, wow, this could actually change, like, because he's never won a set in a final, like, and I thought to myself, if he gets his first set, this is it.
I thought that first set was his. Yeah. Like, I thought, like, oh yeah, the way it was going, I was like, okay, yeah,
this is
cool.
What I'm saying. And then, yeah, boom. And then like you said, Cilic gets it in the tiebreak, and then I was worried in the second set, thinking, shit, I hope he doesn't like just, you know, let the
mentally,
level drop,
like,
yeah, and just like completely phases out. But he didn't. To be fair, he stayed with it. Ended up losing, I think it was 6-3 in the end in the second set. But I liked what you said after, like, and that's the thing with Felix. Like, we always say how like positive he is, but it's genuine. And I think as well, him being 20 years old, like, he's doing something right to make 8 finals at ATP tour level. Like, that's huge. And like, these aren't just like, yeah, a few. This, I think Stuttgart was a 250, but he's made a few 500 finals. Like, he's basically beating top players, but it's just for whatever reason, when it gets to the final, like, something just, I don't know, if it's not a mental thing. I don't want to say it's mental, but it is, to be fair, it is mental.
Yeah, I think it is mental.
But it's definitely not his game, basically. He's got the game to literally beat anybody on his day. So he just needs to get over that mental hump. And it will come, like, just imagine if it's at a Grand Slam. Could you imagine?
Oh, cry. Because Steph already nearly cried.
That sounds like it's an outrageous thing to say. Because, like, obviously, the men's tennis, in terms of, like, the top level, you've got, obviously, Nadal, Djokovic. I don't know how well Federer's going to do at Wimbledon. I know he's obviously playing his way in to form, but I'm not expecting Federer to... Sorry to disappoint you, Lucy. I'm not expecting.
It's realistic. Even me, I'm kind of scared for it. I have way higher hopes for Serena than Federer for
same. Yeah,
Wimbledon.
100%. But my point, just quickly on Felix. My point is, it's definitely harder for men to break through at slams than it is for women. And like, that's no disrespect to the women's game. Like, the women's game is fantastic. It's exciting. It's open. The level's very high. Like, yeah, it's brilliant. But
do you know why? Because I feel like WTA players, they don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? They're like, all right, you're the GOAT, cool, but I'm still going to, there's no respect, there's no nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas ATP players, there's
a respect, like,
they
and like,
kiss their ass, but it's not even just about respect, it's just they really kiss their ass, and it's like, no, man, like, pull that shit aside and go to the court, go on court and literally fuck shit up.
I think Tsitsipas, to his credit, he isn't of that thinking. He's of the mindset of, nah, you guys aren't shit, like, I'm literally,
yeah,
I'm gonna beat you.
Especially after Djokovic literally made that joke and said that we are the next gen. I'm so sorry. If I am an ATP player, you say that joke, I'm like, nah, that's it, it's wartime. But they don't have that energy and that mentality.
Yeah.
These women, when they know they're playing against a top player, whether it's Serena, whether it's Halep, whether whoever it is on the different tournaments, they are like, yeah, fuck your greatness, I am going to go and kill shit up. And they do it. But these other ATP players, they're just too busy doing, oh yeah, you're the greatest, well done, and da-da. It's like, nah, fuck all of that.
No, I hear you.
So ATP players, please, fuck these three old people and go and fuck shit up. Like, come on.
No, but yeah, shouts out to Felix, man. Like I said, eight finals, that's huge. But the title's coming. Hopefully it's this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it will be this year. I just don't know where or when. But it will be 2021, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Shouts out to Francis Tiafoe as well. Won the Nottingham Challenger, the Viking Open. I watched quite a bit of him this week on the grass in Nottingham. And that was his first grass court title, which I thought was pretty incredible considering.
Yeah, he's got especially game. That we're getting into grass season.
It's perfect timing. So yeah, he beat Dennis Kudler in the final, and Kudler's someone he's like kind of grew up with. Like, well, yeah, basically back in the States. And he said he made a really nice speech as well, like basically saying, "Oh, like if it, I'm not quoting verbatim, but this is just like from what I could remember." He basically said, "Oh, if it wasn't for like Kudler in terms of like seeing him day to day and like you know kind of growing up around him, he wouldn't be the player he is today," which I thought was really nice. So yeah, shouts out to TFO. Also, another winner on the Challenger Tour, Christopher Eubanks. So he won in Orlando. And yeah, a really good run for Eubanks. So he didn't drop a set en route to the final. He lost the first set in the final, which is obviously that's the first set he'd lost all tournament. Who did he play in the final? Nicolas Mejia. I want to say he's from, where is he from? Colombia. Mm. so it's a good effort for Chris Eubanks. Getting that Challenger Tour title. That was a hard court tournament in Orlando. And also shouts out to Elias Yima, obviously brother to Mikel, who also reached the final in Lyon. And that was a clay court event. He lost in the final to Pablo Cuevas, a clay court specialist, so no real surprise there, but really good effort from Elias in Lyon. And yeah, that wraps up events from last week. Looking ahead now to this week, we've got a few. Basically, it's all grass. So we've said goodbye to goodbye to clay. Hello, grass.
Hello, grass.
So we've got the Bet One Open in Berlin, which is the WTA 500. Quite a few players are pulled out quite early. So obviously Osaka, she was due to be playing in that. She's not playing there. I think Barty, she's also...
I mean, to be fair, they have, like, what, 2 weeks to Wimbledon?
Exactly. I think Barty, she also pulled out too. But Hayley Baptiste, she qualified for the main draw, so she's in. And I'll let you know who she's playing, because they've been placed now. 1 second. Also a qualifier in Berlin, Asia Mohammed, who's a double specialist, but she's doing her thing.
Nice.
On the single side at the moment. So yeah, Baptiste, oh wow. She's got Jessica Pegula in the first round. That's going to be interesting. All-American clash. Pegula, she's been playing some really good tennis this year, so that should be a good one to watch. And Asia Mohammed, she has Petra Martic in the first round. So again, decent. It's a good draw, I think, there for Mohammed. Also competing in Berlin, we've got Madison Keys, and she starts against, is it Magdalena? Yeah, Magdalena Frech, Poland, in the first round. So obviously this is going to be the first grass court match for Keys. And she's got game for grass, so I expect her to do quite well. And hopefully she can, put a run together in Berlin. Here in Birmingham, UK, we've got the Viking Classic, which is a WTA 250. Heather Watson, she's playing in that. So she takes on Victoria Godobich. I think she's Swift from Switzerland. And that's in the first round for Heather Watson.
I think Fingy pulled out, isn't it? Venus was supposed to play there as well, wasn't she?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I can't remember which one. I know she pulled out in one of...
It's Birmingham, one of the grass thing.
I can't remember if it was Birmingham or is it going to be the other one?
I think there's one next week, which is Eastbourne.
The one in Eastbourne, yeah.
Okay, interesting. So that's one to look out for.
Yeah.
And then on the men's side, you've got Halle in Germany, the Noventi Open, which is Federer's. He loves that event, and that's an ATP 500.
He's playing tomorrow, I think.
Who, Federer?
Yeah.
But yeah, Gael Monfils is in that. He's the eighth seed. And he takes on Lloyd Harris in the first round. And Felix Auger-Aliassime, he's also playing in that. So he's got Hubert Hurkacz in the first round. And obviously Hurkacz is, is his doubles partner. So that's going to be interesting to see how they get on in that one. And then in London now, Queens, the Cinch Open. Such a weird name. But yeah, Francis Tiafoe, he's playing in that fresh from his win in Nottingham. So he'll be full of confidence. And yeah, he's got Aliash Bedene in the first round. So yeah, that wraps up events for this week. So just a load of grass court tennis, finally, which I'm very much looking forward to. So yeah, that actually wraps up the whole episode, Lucy. We are done. So yeah, guys, thanks for listening, and yeah, obviously stay tuned on all our social medias. So obviously Twitter and Instagram, we'll be posting about these events in Berlin, Birmingham, Halle, and Queens. And I think our next pod will be our Wimbledon preview. Exciting times. So until then, guys, take care and enjoy all the grass court tennis.
Peace. And it's time for me to cancel my Eurosport subscription. Oh yeah,
am I leaving that in there?
Yeah, do it, man.